You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
Welcome into The Sports Objective. It is championship week, and we're very excited to talk about this week's championship games. But before we dive into that, I'd like to welcome in former East Carolina football players, Pirate letter winners, Jay Sunhalter and Matt Semenza. Guys, how are we?
Doing great, guys. Happy to be with you as always. You know, it's amazing how quickly these seasons just fly by, and now we're here at championship week, Jay, and definitely some interesting matchups to look at.
I know. Gosh, I'm so sad the season is almost over with. I mean, we got the bowl games coming up and a bunch of good stuff, but there's nothing like the regular season and, you know, every week seeing all these great games. I think this weekend will turn out to be good, but it's just interesting, you know, with the Final Four that came out on Tuesday and, you know, these games and seeing where everyone's placed and what's on the line. You know, we're going to have some good games though.
Before we take a look at the championship games, you know, what were some of the takeaways that you guys had from rivalry weekend?
Well, you know, for me, the two that really jump out were Michigan, you know, just beating up on Ohio State. In Ohio State, you know, I honestly, when I looked at that game, I felt like anybody could win, but I thought it would be a very close game. You know, I didn't expect, you know, a blowout either way. And you got to be impressed with Michigan guys getting it done like that at Ohio State. And then, you know, you got to give some credit to USC as well, taking care of business against Notre Dame.
And another one that really, you know, I think a lot of people weren't all that surprised by it, but what transpired down in College Station, LSU, still playing for the SEC title, but that loss at Texas A&M, you know, costing them a chance at making the playoff.
Yeah, that was wild. I mean, it's like everybody that we thought was going to be a shoo-in, you know, you thought LSU was going to go against Georgia. You know, that with LSU having that opportunity to get to the playoff, now that's gone. I mean, Texas A&M has been a disaster, and I was shocked that they won that game. And then that Michigan-Ohio State game was unbelievable what happened in the second half.
Yeah, it really was. And how about Michigan now? All of a sudden, they just couldn't beat Ohio State forever. And now all of a sudden, Harbaugh has it going 2 years in a row. They take care of business against Ohio State, and then they plant the flag at the 50-yard line. And I mean, you know, it's definitely for me. It's I always like to see change in college football because it seems like too often it's the same teams every year. So I'm kind of happy to see Michigan take care of business and kind of have a chance here in the playoff.
Well, I mean, Ohio State has a Michigan problem now. And it's not just that game. It's just like you can tell the style that Ohio State plays and the way Michigan plays. Michigan's playing a tougher, you know, a tougher game of football. And they're better on the line of scrimmage, even though Ohio State's amazing. So Ohio State's going to have to figure out a way to change some things there in their culture and also just with their schemes because right now Michigan's got the upper hand.
Yeah, I guess this is what, maybe year four for Ryan Day, something like that. I think he's something like 45-5, but I guess, 2-2 now against Michigan and having dropped the last two, it starts to make you wonder if it's going to be a John Cooper situation like from back in the 90s where he won a ton of football games but could not beat Michigan and it cost him his job. So it's too early to tell on that, but and the Buckeyes aren't accustomed to losing to Michigan.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, guys, I'll tell you the other one. How about, you know, I've been very slow all year. You guys know, very slow all year to give USC much credit. And, but you have to now. I mean, Lincoln Riley, he's done a tremendous job changing that program. And I think it was Jay and I both. I don't want to speak for you, Jay, but I think we both picked Notre Dame. last week to beat USC. And USC just came out and jumped on them. I was very impressed with that. I was not expecting USC to be able to play as, you know, physical enough to win that game.
Well, I think for USC, I mean, I agree. We both picked Notre Dame. I was shocked that USC has improved as much as they have. And also, I think it just goes to show you their quarterback's unbelievable. And anytime you've got a team that's improving and a quarterback that's the real deal, it can take you far.
No doubt. And Caleb Williams coming over from Oklahoma with Lincoln Riley, and a lot of folks like him to win the Heisman, and rightfully so, with all he and the Trojans have done. We'll see how they fare this week in the rematch with the Utah Utes taking place in Las Vegas. But we'll talk about some other games before we get to that. But taking a look at last week's picks, Jay, you had an unbelievable week. Sonny went 8-1-1 and is now 45-41-4 for the season.
That's wow. Amazing. I may just stop now. This may be my last week of picking games. I'm gonna end on a high note.
Sonny was on fire, man. Listen, had I known, I would have just, you know, bet the house. You know, I would have just, you know, been gambling on all your picks, and you know, would have covered Thanksgiving dinner.
I know. I should have put some money down. Unfortunately, I put no money down, so I am not poor or rich. I've got nothing to show for my wise picks last week.
And as you said, Matt, the only game that Jay missed was that Notre Dame game where both of you took the Irish plus 5.5, and of course USC won by, I think it was 11. And then the push was the Auburn-Alabama game. You know, Auburn made a decent push late in that game and really tightened things up. And then Bama scored a late touchdown or two and ended up winning by 22.
That's unreal that Vegas got that right on the money. It really is. You got to give credit.
And Matt, a week ago, Not bad, 5-4-1, and now 40-46-4 for the season.
Yeah. Well, hey, this is a big championship week for me. I need to get back to 500 at the very least.
Yeah, so moving on to championship week, as you just referenced, we'll start off with Friday night's games. The first game on Friday night is within Conference USA. You have North Texas 7-5 traveling to the Alamo Dome to take on 10-2 and future member of the American UTSA Roadrunners, and the Roadrunners are an 8.5-point favorite. A game that is scheduled for a 7:30 kickoff on the CBS Sports Network.
Jay, you could jump on this one first if you want.
All right. So normally in these championship games, I'm probably going to fare with the underdogs covering. In this one, I just think UTSA is a really good team. It's evidenced by their record. And I think with it being at the Alamo Dome, it's going to be a home game. I'm going to actually say they're going to go ahead and cover this and win by 9 or more.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one, Jay. Like, the fact that it's a home game for them at the Alamo Dome, and they bring a nice crowd to these games. Like, I'm very impressed with this program. Like, their attendance, their following, you know, for a relatively young program. So, you know, they've been very competitive all year, very solid program. So I'll take UTSA to get it done. I'm not a believer in North Texas.
And the Roadrunners and the Meet and Green, they met back on October 22nd, and UTSA won that game, which was also in the Alamo Dome, 31-27. So, interesting to see this rematch between North Texas and UTSA. Also being played on Friday night, the Pac-12 championship, Utah won a thriller against USC in Salt Lake City. And that was a shootout, something 45-44, 44-43, on something of that nature. And this time the Trojans are a two-point favorite at Allegiant Stadium in Vegas.
This is going to be a really good game, guys. I'll tell you, like, Utah, you know, when you just look at this right off the bat, you say, okay, USC is the favorite. They should win. But think about their last few weeks, emotional games over UCLA and then Notre Dame with a chance to crack into the, you know, the college football playoff. Are they able to rally for this game, or is it a potential letdown? That's the big question I have, is can they maintain this great streak that they're on and, you know, have enough to win this game against Utah? And I do, you know, I went back and forth on this one, but I just think ultimately Lincoln Riley, he's too good of a play caller. And I think they'll find a way to outscore Utah. So I don't think it's going to be easy. I think it's going to be a really tough game, but I'll say USC gets it done.
Well, I think, I mean, as you guys know, the hardest thing is to have these highly emotional, huge games week after week after week and bring your A game every week. So I agree, Matt. I think this is going to be extremely tough. I think Utah is really good. In most circumstances, I'd say Utah is going to win this game. I just think when you have a star quarterback and with what's on the line and the fact that Utah won earlier and USC, you know, it's tough. It's going to be tough for Utah to beat USC twice. Now, USC may win by one and we may lose the cover here, but I'm going to say USC, it's going to be close, but USC is going to cover.
A couple of things about this matchup. In the previous matchup that the Utes won by that single point, 43-42. Cameron Rising threw for a little over 400 yards for Utah. Meanwhile, Williams for USC threw for 5 touchdowns and just shy of 400 yards. And then also, and something else to keep in mind, USC is, I believe, tops in the nation in giveaway, takeaway, winning the turnover battle this year. Something ridiculous like plus 20 or plus 25. And they actually won the turnover battle against Utah in that loss. Utah had one turnover. USC did not turn the ball over. So that's something else to keep an eye on in this one.
Yeah, that's a really interesting statistic, Bubba. And, you know, I'll tell you, it's just going to be really interesting to see how USC handles this pressure. They have everything on the line in this game, everything, you know, a chance. If they lose, obviously they're going to drop out. I think you'd see Ohio State move back into the top four possibly. So everything's on the line here. Can they take care of business?
Moving on to Saturday's games, the MAC championship game being played at Ford Field. You had 7-5 Toledo taking on the 9-3 Ohio Bobcats. The Rockets are a 1-point favorite, so essentially a pick 'em in this one. And this is a noon kickoff on ESPN.
Well, I mean, this is a pick 'em. And to me, yeah, I'm going to lead with the team that has the best record. So I'm going to go ahead and pick the Bobcats to go ahead and, Toledo's favored by one, but I'm going to go ahead with the underdog and go with the Bobcats to win this game.
Yeah, I'm really surprised by this line. I'm actually shocked, to be honest with you. Ohio's been really strong down the stretch. I think they've won 6 in a row. Really impressed what they've been able to do. And I think that team's playing at a high level right now. Toledo's been a little shaky at times throughout the year, a little up and down. So I don't know why this line is like this. I'm a little confused, but I actually feel very strongly about this one. This, unless there's an injury or something that I'm not aware of, I feel like Ohio's going to roll.
And that's the deal. I was very curious about the line as well, Matt. And Ohio's starting quarterback, who's accounted for 3,500 yards of offense, including nearly 3,300 through the air, he's out for the season with a knee injury.
Yep, there it is. I knew there had to be something with this one. So wait a second. I get to reverse my pick now, right, Bubba? I mean,
go ahead.
Lock it in, Jay. Did we lock that in?
Hey, we have no rules here. Hey. You can do whatever we want.
How about this? How about this? I don't care who the quarterback is. I'm sticking with the Bobcats. Ohio.
Let's go, baby. Done. Let's go.
Lock it in.
I'm with you. You and I together.
Also at noon on Saturday, the Big 12 championship game. Yeah, I think, and this is my favorite game of the weekend, I believe. This game is taking place at Jerry's World, AT&T Stadium there in Dallas. The Wildcats, 9-3, and they lost by 10 earlier in the season in Manhattan to TCU, which is, of course, 12-0, and the Horned Frogs are a slight 2.5-point favorite at noon on ABC.
I mean, this is going to be tough. I mean, I really do think Utah could win. I think Kansas State could win both of those games. Now, I'm not going to pick that, but I think they could. I'm going to go ahead and say TCU finishes out strong and covers this, but it's going to be tough in this game.
Yeah, this is a really tough pick. I struggled with this game several weeks ago when they played. Kind of similar to the USC game. Everything is on the line for TCU here. Everything. And, you know, Jay, I know you've kind of been saying, like, they're due for a letdown at some point. And I wonder if we got that against Baylor, where they were still able to win, but that might have been their letdown week. You know, they've just been able to find a way to get it done every week. And when I look at this game, I just think that you're going to see a ton of points. Like, I would think that the over's probably somewhere around 70. You're going to have a high scoring game. It's going to be a great game. I feel like anybody could win it, but how can you go against the Horned Frogs in this situation? I mean, they've got it done all year and 1 week away from, you know, this is their last chance to stay in that playoff hunt. So I'm going to go with the Horned Frogs.
As you said, Matt, Sonny Dykes and TCU have answered the bell time and again, and I know Iowa State was 4-7 a week ago and, you know, out of the running for a bowl, but that was still a very surprising score to see TCU win. Was it 62-14?
Yeah.
Very surprising result there because even when they've lost, I mean, you've not seen in this year, for that matter, Iowa State's been very competitive despite finishing 4-8, but that was not the case a week ago in Fort Worth as they were just destroyed by the Horned Frogs. In the Sun Belt Championship on Saturday afternoon, 3:30, taking place down in Troy, Alabama, at Veterans Memorial Stadium, you have 9-2 Coastal Carolina, and there is some uncertainty there with their quarterback, Grayson McCall, who missed last week's loss at James Madison. Coastal is taking on the 10-2 Troy Trojans, and the Trojans are an 8.5-point favorite, and these teams did not meet during the regular season.
Yeah, so this is the type of game where, like, if I was gambling for real, I'd make a game-time decision on it based on McCall's status. I think if he plays, Coastal will cover that line. Without him, though, obviously it's a totally different story. I mean, they run such a unique offensive system there. And McCall, he has a firm grasp on it. He's really mastered it. Every time I watch Coastal, I'm really impressed with that kid. He's tough. He makes plays. You know, he's just a gamer. But based on where we are right now, I'm going to go into the assumption that he doesn't play. And you saw what happened last week against JMU. They got drubbed. So I'm going to say that Troy gets it done. Again, based on the assumption that McCall doesn't play.
What do you think, Jay?
Well, I'm going to go. I mean, this one's so hard to pick. I just think in these championship games it's going to be close ball games. And that's a high number, you know, whether McCall plays or not. So I'm going to go with Coastal to cover. I don't feel confident in that, though. But that's my pick. So lock it in for right now until I change my mind, Bubba.
Locked in. Also on Saturday afternoon, We talked about LSU and how Brian Kelly's club fell short in a devastating loss to their national championship hopes. Now, obviously, they still had – if they won that, they still had to win this week against Georgia. Georgia Dogs, once again, a perfect 12-0, 17.5-point favorites, 4 o'clock on CBS at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So we'll start off with you, Jay.
I just think that's a high number for me. I mean, Georgia Bear could well blow them out. And I just think that this game is probably going to be more competitive than we think, especially after LSU played bad. So I'm going to say LSU is going to cover the 17.5.
This is a really tough one because – Georgia's had moments this year where they, you know, they struggle. I mean, you saw it against – they only beat Kentucky 16-6. They had the game against Missouri. They didn't exactly wipe the floor with Georgia Tech last week. But there's something about that team when they get in the bright lights in a big game and when they're motivated, good luck. I mean, they will just – they'll just destroy people. I mean, you saw it with Oregon. You know, you saw it with Florida. Earlier this season, you know, you saw it last year. I mean, they just have a way to step up. But that is I agree with you, Jay. That's a big number, 17.5. And I think LSU will find a way to get 17 to 20 points on the board, which will make it tough for Georgia to cover it. So Georgia's going to win the game, but I'll say LSU does cover the 17.5. So I just contradicted everything I said.
No, we're together on it.
Moving on to the Mountain West Conference Championship game. You have 8-4 Fresno State and traveling to the Blue Turf to take on 9-3 Boise. It's the Broncos by 3 there at Albertson Stadium. 4 o'clock kickoff on Fox. These teams have already met this season. And Boise State won that matchup 40-20 back in, I believe it was early to mid-October.
Well, you guys know nobody waltzes into Albertson Stadium and walks away with a victory. It just it rarely does happen, rarely. It's Boise. It's on the Smurf turf. I do respect – I really do have a lot of respect for Fresno State's program. They're sneaky good every year. And they're well coached, and they have playmakers. They can always find a way to score points, but I think it's going to be really cold in Boise. I don't know how the California boys from Fresno will respond to that cold weather. So, all those factors, I'll take Boise State.
I just think it's going to be tough, like you said, Matt, for a California team to go on the road win in that weather. And that's a tough place to play. So I'm going to go ahead with Boise State to cover and win by more than 3.
Lock it.
And that 40-20 Boise State win early October, October 8th, that was on the blue turf as well. In the American, you have two teams that have just like Boise and Fresno already
can I
played.
Just back up for a minute. Let's just back up, not to interrupt
yeah.
for a second. But can you guys watch that? Can you guys watch football on that turf? I struggle to watch it, man. It's disgusting on TV watching that blue turf.
Yeah, it's a challenge. It's not fun.
I'll tell you what's even more challenging, Matt. Have you ever seen a game at Eastern Washington?
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad.
I saw a picture of it, you know, online.
The red turf. Oh.
Is it gray? What is it? It's gray.
It's red.
Oh, Eastern Washington. I'm thinking Eastern Michigan. My bad.
Yeah.
Yes, I have. Yeah, that's really unusual.
But the American Championship taking place down at Yulman Stadium, 4 o'clock on ABC. You have 10-2 Tulane on what a story Willie Fritz ball club is. And the Georgia Tech job has been filled. So Coach Fritz, at least for the time being, is staying there in New Orleans. and they will look to avenge a loss from a few weeks ago when UCF came in there and won 38-31, I believe it was, and the 9-3 Knights under Gus Malzahn. They'll have their work cut out for them, and they're a 3.5-point dog against Tulane in the AAC title game.
I mean, these games are so tough to pick. You know, I would go with UCF in normal scenario plus Willie Fritz. There was, you know, a lot of attention with him possibly going to Georgia Tech this week, and now he's going to stay. I just think that Tulane's good. They're solid, and they're going to win. I just have a feeling they're going to win by more than 3.5. And again, I usually would go with the underdogs in these games to at least cover, but I'm going to go ahead with Tulane to win by 4 or more.
So I think I'm going to go the other way on this one, Jay and Bubba. Like, here's the thing. I really liked what I saw out of UCF last time they played Tulane a few weeks back. I thought they looked much faster. They jumped out on them. I mean, they had a huge lead, and then they just kind of – they went a little conservative, kind of held on and won the game. But I guess my concern with this one is that I wonder how much the whole Willie Fritz situation disrupted that team this week. I would think it had to a certain point. Major distraction. Does the team, you know, you never know how these things shake out internally. Does the team embrace him? Basically, within a 48-hour span, he says, all right, I'm taking the next best job. Nice knowing you guys. And then all of a sudden, he's back. That's an interesting scenario. So I also think UCF played down to their competition last week in rivalry week. So Gus Malzahn's going to have their attention, and I just think UCF's going to overwhelm the Green Wave. So I'll go with the Knights.
In Charlotte at Bank of America Stadium in the ACC championship game, you have a couple of teams that are limping in, especially North Carolina. Clemson's coming off their loss to South Carolina, the first loss there. In Death Valley in, 41 games. And then North Carolina, meanwhile, lost back-to-back home games against Georgia Tech and NC State, and they're coming in at 9-3. It is Clemson by 7.5, 8 o'clock kick on ABC.
Yeah, I mean – oh, sorry, go ahead, Matt.
No, you go ahead, Jay. You got it. You got it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Clemson's going to win this game. I just think that's a high spread, and I think that UNC can score. Now, it's going to be tough against Clemson's defense, but I also don't know if Clemson's going to be able to score that much to win by 8 or more. You know, all these games are going to be tough ones, obviously, with the level of competition they have, but I'm going to go with UNC to actually cover in this one.
Another tough one. I don't really know what to make of UNC right now. They've been very shaky recently. Obviously, they lost to NC State, but then the week before, if I'm not mistaken, they lost to Georgia Tech. They struggled. It seems like they struggled to run the ball. You know, they had to like really claw their way back into that game against NC State last week against, which I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, I think that was a third string quarterback for NC State.
Yeah, I guess at least third string, if not fourth string, because obviously to begin the year you had Devin Leary, and then you had Jack Chambers, and then you had the other young man. So I guess this is actually the fourth string quarterback, and yeah, he had a heck of a game.
Yeah, he was impressive. So I don't know what to make of North Carolina right now. You know, Clemson, that's first of all, South Carolina, the Gamecocks are, that's a hot team right now. That is a hot team right now. Two really good teams. That was a fun game to watch. Clemson's another one of those teams for me, like in the bright lights in a big game, they seem to always play well. So that's a very long way of saying I'm going with the Clemson Tigers to get it done.
And Ben Finley is, of course, just a little note there. He is the younger brother of Ryan Finley, excellent NC State quarterback.
All right. Interesting. Interesting. I did wonder that.
And then also on Saturday night, 8 o'clock kickoff at Lucas Oil Stadium is the Big Ten title game. Michigan coming off that 3-touchdown win at Ohio State. The Wolverines 12-0, looking to secure their playoff spot. And honestly, and they have an excellent chance of going, even if they did drop this game probably. But they are taking on 9-3 Purdue. It is Michigan, a large favorite at, by 16.5 there at Lucas Oil Stadium. We'll start off with you, Matt.
So indulge me here for a minute, fellas, because I have a lot to say about this one. I think I mentioned to you before the show. This is – the Big Ten cannot give you this championship. This is a travesty. Obviously, Michigan earns their way. But Purdue has absolutely no business being in this game. If you just look at the Big Ten, the divisions are so – they're so skewed. It's unbelievable. How do you have Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State on one side? And then on the other side, you have Iowa, Purdue, Nebraska. You know, it's a joke. It's completely unfair. The fact that Purdue, again, that they're in this game is a travesty. So, you know, first of all, that's the first thing I wanted to say. The Big Ten has to fix that. I think last year they gave us Northwestern, another travesty. But with that said, I hope Michigan stomps Purdue and wins this game by 40, and I think they will. I think they're going to crush Purdue. So go Wolverines.
Yeah, and guys, very quickly, Jay, that was a typo on my part. Purdue's not 9-3; they're 6-3 within the Big Ten, but they're actually 8-4 overall. So even more so, you know, proving what Matt was saying there.
Yeah, I think, you know, these games are going to be close, but I think this one may be a blowout. Even though Michigan had a huge victory, I think Michigan is good, and I think they're going to take it to Purdue. So I think they're going to cover and win big.
Yeah.
And, gentlemen, that will do it. That it is the 10th and final championship game. There actually are a couple other games that are being played this weekend. Obviously not of the championship variety, but you had – and what a story this is. You have Jerry Keel there at New Mexico State. They absolutely destroyed Liberty a week ago. And they had a game early in the year, I believe, that they had dropped, and they were able to pick up an FCS opponent in Valparaiso as they are looking to get to their to 6-6 and bowl eligibility. So and that's awesome for the Aggies, a program that has really, really struggled, to say the least. I remember a few years ago when Doug Martin took them to a bowl, and they were able to win it, and that was their best season in something like 50 years. So it was great to see stories like that, programs that have been so bad have some success.
Did you just say Valparaiso? I didn't even know Valparaiso had a football team. I just know them from having a ridiculous run in the NCAA tournament like 15 years ago. Right, Bubba?
Shoot, I guess that was the run that I remember for Valpo was back in 98 when Bryce Drew knocked down the shot when they ran the play called Pacer.
Was that 1998? Oh, my
God. Yes, they beat Ole Miss.
Wow, I can't believe it was that long ago. That's unbelievable.
I am old. I thought that was like – 10 years ago.
and Kyle said, that game that New Mexico State lost was again, I say lost, was not able to play with San Jose State. And he believed that was due to the wildfires there in California. But,
oh, wow. I didn't know.
Also, Kyle, maybe you can tell us on why this game is being played. There's a game, a MAC game that's being played at 1 o'clock. On Friday, and that is Akron playing at Buffalo, and Akron's 2-9, but Buffalo's playing for bowl eligibility as they are 5-6. Well, so that's very interesting. A 1 o'clock game on a Friday.
Wow. They're going to set attendance records, but for the wrong reason. Okay. The worst attendance in the history of college football. But I definitely trust Kyle's judgment on – Kyle's really up to speed on the MAC and the Sun Belt. So I'll definitely trust Kyle's judgment on those conferences.
I figured this had to be the case, but it's the blizzard that hit Buffalo there a couple weeks ago. So that's why that game is being played then. Still very interesting. It's being played at 1 o'clock on a Friday, but
matching. That's matching for you.
But glad they're able to get that in, and it's not surprising that they're getting it in, especially when you consider the Bulls are playing for bowl eligibility. We also have Peanut Butter Hero chiming in on YouTube, guys. He's saying Matt Rule to Nebraska. He said those people just don't know about him. What are your thoughts on that hire? Actually, this is the direction. As soon as they made that decision to part ways with Scott Frost, I thought we'd see Matt Rule become the Cornhuskers' next coach, and that obviously is the case.
I think, I know Panthers fans probably don't like him, but I think that's a home run hire. I mean, maybe most people won't agree with that, but I think he knows how to turn around programs. I think he's a really good coach. I think with the Panthers, they didn't have a quarterback, and that's a big adjustment going from college to pro. And, I mean, you know, I just think that's a tough situation with the Panthers, but I think at Nebraska, he'll rebuild it, and, you know, whatever their potential is at Nebraska, he's going to get them there.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jay. So on the college level, he's a proven commodity. He really is. I mean, he's done it at two different programs. I thought he did an incredible job at Baylor, even more impressive than what he did at Temple, to be honest with you. Obviously, he struggled in the NFL, but you've seen that from a million college coaches over the years. I think college is where he belongs. You know, I think that's where he belongs. I think it's a pretty good fit, honestly. I like it. You know, I think he's going to bring, like, that old school Nebraska hard-nosed football back there. Question is, how can he recruit? You know, is he able to get the athletes to Nebraska that they used to get? But I'm hopeful because I want to see Nebraska get back on the national stage. So I'm kind of hoping it works out.
And Matt, Kyle agrees with you, and Kyle Barber chiming in saying great college coach. It doesn't transfer to the NFL very often. And I agree. We'll see to what extent he has success there in Lincoln, but you look at the Big Ten West. Now, obviously, you have Luke Fickell being hired at Wisconsin, but that Big Ten West has been so up for grabs, especially with Wisconsin slipping a bit. So Nebraska, you know, if Matt Rule goes in there and does what he's done at those other two stops, it's definitely not out of the realm of possibility, you know, for them to be back, winning. You know, 8-9 games and potentially contending for the division not too far into the future.
Yeah. The Big Ten West needs they need somebody to step it up. Otherwise, we're going to get Purdue and Northwestern every year.
And the final thing, guys, I wanted to mention before we get out of here, obviously East Carolina is still waiting to find out where it will be going bowling. A lot of different destinations have been tossed out for the Pirates. Justin Butts chimes in. He was saying that he'll be getting back from his cruise on December 17th in Miami, which is a short 45-minute drive up to Boca. So if the Pirates do, in fact, go to the Boca Raton Bowl, that would be great for him. And that's what he's praying for, is it would be a 10-day trip and a vacation for he and his family.
Wow, man, Justin, that's awesome. I hope that works out for you, because that's you couldn't time it any better than that. That would be pretty amazing. You know, it's just, you know, just so many moving parts right now, guys. It's just really hard to know how this thing is going to shake out. You know, I was really hopeful for Fenway. I just liked I really was high on the idea of playing Syracuse. I thought that would be just from a style point of view, I thought that would have been a really fun game to watch. Doesn't look like that's going to happen, obviously. So too many moving parts, but you know, at this point, I guess we're just gonna have to wait and see. I think the Tulane UCF game is going to have a trickle down effect potentially that we need to look out for. What do you think, Bubba?
Yeah, obviously on how that Tulane UCF game unfolds. You know, we're hearing that you know, Cincinnati is wanted by the Fenway Bowl, and then obviously you have the Military Bowl. I would say that they're probably pretty high on the Pirates just because of the regionality, and last year the Pirates were probably going to bring close to 10,000 fans or something there to Annapolis. But we're also hearing another bowl that you haven't seen mentioned nearly as much as Myrtle Beach or Fenway or the Military, and that's the Gasparilla Bowl. It's played in Tampa at Raymond James Stadium. Keep an eye on the Gasparilla Bowl. That could be in the mix.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, I don't know much about the tie-ins to that bowl. You're right, that's been kind of off the radar, but I'm sure our fans, you know, wouldn't complain about heading down to Tampa this time of year. Beautiful location, awesome stadium. So, you know, you could do a lot worse than Tampa.
And that is a game that's played on Christmas Eve on December 23rd, like I said, at Raymond James Stadium. And I believe it's maybe a 6:30 or 7:30 kickoff. And I believe it's televised by ESPN.
Yep. And I, you know, from a travel standpoint, the airlines tend to jack up these flights, you know, right around Christmas time. Hopefully that's not, you know, doesn't have too much of a deter our fans too much from flying out, but I'm sure it will. That's a tough date, especially people who have families, people who have young kids trying to get ready for Christmas and then, you know, heading down to a bowl game out of state. But, you know, Bubba, I wouldn't be disappointed at all to see a game in Tampa. And I would actually consider going to that too.
One other thing on the East Carolina football front and the East Carolina athletics front that we wanted to mention, very important to the Pirate fans that we're contributing to the indoor practice facility as well as just the Pirates Unite campaign overall. So many different aspects to that campaign. The indoor practice facility is going to have a price tag of probably $17, $18 million, maybe $20 million, depending on what all that project entails and includes. So let's make sure that we're giving as we can to that. And then it also includes the baseball operations building down the left field line at Clark LeClair Stadium, as well as renovations to the natatorium, as well as other things on the athletics campus. And also something else, Team Boneyard. Team Boneyard is East Carolina's collective as they fund NIL opportunities for ECU student athletes, you know, whether it's football or otherwise. You know, if you would like to contribute to Team Boneyard, you can go to teamboneyard.org and do so. And you can just give to the fund in a general sense, or you can earmark it for a specific sport or a specific athlete. So maybe, you know, you want to make a contribution not only to football, but for running back Keaton Mitchell. You can do that. So go to teamboneyard.org and check that out today.
Sounds good, Bubba.
You know, Matt, we'll get out of here. We hope everyone's having an excellent week and enjoy the championship games. And for Matt Semenza and Jay Sunhalter, I'm Bubba Rosenbaum. You've been watching and listening to Sonny and Semenza here on the Sports Objective. Be sure to follow us on social media, on Twitter at the Sports OBJ, on Instagram and TikTok at The Sports Objective. Like and follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Again, we appreciate you tuning in. And as always, go Pirates.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates. Listen to the show pretty much everywhere podcasts are found. Be sure to follow us on social media at The Sports OBJ on Twitter and TikTok, at The Sports Objective on Instagram. Like and follow our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel. As always, we appreciate you listening to the show, and go Pirates!